Bunch of old hell-deserving sinners. And Jesus passed by. Crowd told blind Bartimaeus, said, "You need to quieten down. What's all this noise about? Amen. What's all this noise about?" Jesus passed by. He just saved you. That's all He done for you. I wouldn't get too excited about that. Amen. You go down to the ball game, shout your hair down. Don't even know who's going to come out on the winning side. The Bible said, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." I am Baptist, but I'm glad Jesus got me before the Baptist got me. And I thank the Lord for it. In your Bible this morning, the book of Hebrews, chapter number 1. If you'd stand with us, we'll honor the reading of the Word of God found over in the book of Hebrews, chapter number 1. It's just a joy to be here and be saved. I wish I was this size again and could do some things over. I wish I was this size and could be raised in a church like this. Had some heroes of the faith I'd look to beside the Michael Jordans and the Hulk Hogans, amen. Heroes of faith. Bible said God, who at sundry times or different times said and in different manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. Thank God for them old prophets. Man, the Elijahs and Elishas that come out of swinging, amen. Thank God they didn't lay their Bible down and go home, Brother Lager. They just kept the swinging, amen. And I said, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the world, who being the brightness of His glory and express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself, He didn't need no pope. And I don't need no pope. I need the Lamb of God. He said He sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. Thank you for standing this morning. Now if you would take your Bible and turn with us over into the book of Exodus, chapter number 16. The book of Exodus, chapter number 16. And there I want to continue the thought of the series on making much of Christ. You know, there's nothing wrong with going to church and making much of Christ. Because, see, without Him, we can do nothing. Matter of fact, God thinks a lot of His Son. So we ought to join in on that thought and think a lot of Him here. Matter of fact, He don't have to be here, but I am glad He is here. And today I want to continue this thought on making much of Christ. We've seen in earlier days that Jesus is the doorway to glory. He's just not some way, He's the way. But somebody help me preach this morning. All roads don't lead to heaven. And then we've seen that Jesus is not only the door, but Jesus is the doctor. Boy, I'm glad He can fix any problem that you've got. Boy, I'm reminded every doctor I go to, they got to send me to another doctor, another specialist. This one wanting to send me to the back doctor and the eye doctor and the heart doctor. Lord, I'm glad Jesus is one-stop shop, friend. Everything you'll ever need is in the precious Lamb of God. And we've seen Him in He is the door and He is the doctor. And then our last thoughts was Jesus is the drink of water. I'm glad that Jesus one day gave me a drink. By the way, He said, whosoever is thirsty, let him drink. Let him come to the water of life freely. I'm glad He died for all, and He wills that we all be saved. But we all must come by the way of the old rugged cross. And that is to get a drink of the eternal life. But this morning I want to deal in the book of Exodus chapter 16 on Jesus, our daily bread. Oh, how we need Him daily in our life. A lot of times as a Christian we're saved and we never go much past that. But I'm glad that I'm in a church house this morning with some people that want to be challenged. They want preaching. They want God to do a work in their life and their home and their children and even out in their community. And thank God that we do have this daily bread. Now Moses is taking the children of Israel out of heavy bondage. God chose this man Moses to lead His children to Canaan land. I'm glad God still got some Moses in leadership this morning that has his heart on God's people. And we pick up in the story in Exodus 16, the Bible said, and they took their journey from Elam, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came to the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elam and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after their departing out of the land of Egypt. And the whole congregation, the children of Israel, murmured against Moses. I couldn't imagine that, could you? And Aaron, Brother Mike, the assistant pastor in the wilderness. The Bible said in verse number 3, the children of Israel said unto them, would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, when we did eat bread to the full, for we've brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. I want to part right there just a minute. Somebody said, well, I'm just not being fed there. Well, you got to come to church more than twice a month to get fed. You got to put your head in the trough to get fed. Then said the Lord unto Moses, this amazes me, behold, I'll rain bread from heaven, not for them, but for you. Doesn't matter who your preacher is. Let me go and say that again while it got real quiet. Boy, if I was preaching in another church, I'd run about 10 rabbits right there this morning. He said, Moses, he said, I'm going to rain bread from heaven for you. And the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day that I may prove them whether they'll walk in my law or no. Shall come to pass on the sixth day they shall prepare that which they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily. There's so much preaching here, I don't know if I'll ever get all this in an hour and a half this morning. And he said, verse number 7, and in the morning, then shall you see the glory of the Lord, for he that heareth your murmurings against the Lord, and what are we that ye murmur against us? Moses said, this shall be when the Lord shall give you in the evening flesh to eat, in the morning bread to the full, for the Lord heareth your murmurings, and by the way, He still hears our murmurings, which you murmur against Him, and against your brother, and against your sister. Somebody say amen right there. Your murmurings are not against us, but against the Lord. I need to preach this in some revivals. Why get real mean on that verse? He said, all that murmuring you're doing, it ain't against your Moses. It's against your God. So Moses spake to Aaron, said, say to all the congregation of the children of Israel, come near before the Lord, for he hath heard your murmuring. Came to pass as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation, the children of Israel, they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, I've heard the murmuring. He said, at even you shall eat flesh, and in the morning you shall be filled with bread. You shall know that I am the Lord your God. And it came to pass that even the quails came up. My Lord, ain't that just like God? Give somebody fresh quail. Anybody ever eat good fried quail? Say amen, right? Man, what a blessing. Some of y'all are missing the finer things of life. He said the quails came up, covered the camp, and in the morning the dew lay round about the host. And when the dew that lay was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness, there lay a small round thing, as small as the hoarfrost on the ground. And when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, it is manna, for they wist not what it was. Moses said to them, this is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat. What a blessing. This is the thing which the Lord hath commanded, gather of every man, according to his eating, an omer for every man according to the number of your persons. Take ye every man for them which are in his tent. And the children of Israel did so and gathered. Brother Lager, some more and some less. It's always been that way. I don't understand why everybody don't read their Bible every day. Some of y'all are a hog about the Bible. Thank God. Some of you just sort of fool around with it. Sort of like eating your green beans, you know. You just sort of fool around with it. You love your banana pudding, though, don't you? And when they did meet it with an omer, he that gathered much had nothing over. He that gathered little had no lack. And they gathered every man according to his eating. Moses said, let no man leave of it till the morning. Notwithstanding, they hearkened not unto Moses, but some of them left of it till the morning, and it bred worms and stank, and Moses was wroth with them. Now, let me tell you something, friend. There's a lot of difference if something goes a-stinking and stanking. Big difference in whipping and whooping. This stuff got to stanking. They gathered it every morning, every man according to his eating. When the sun waxed hot, it melted. Came to pass that on the sixth day, they gathered twice as much bread. And the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses. And he said to them, this is that which the Lord has said. Tomorrow is the rest of the holy Sabbath of the Lord. Bake that which you'll make today, and see if that you'll see that which remaineth over, lay up for you to be kept until the morning. Verse 31. And the house of Israel came, called the name thereof manna, and it was like coriander seed, white, and the taste of it was like wafers made with honey. Moses said, this is the thing which the Lord commanded. Fill an omer of it, and be kept for your generations, that they may see the bread wherewith I fed you in the wilderness, when I brought you from the land of Egypt. Moses said to Aaron, take a pot and put an omer full of manna therein, and lay it up before the Lord to be kept for your generations. As the Lord commanded Moses, so Aaron laid it up before the testimony to be kept. And the children of Israel did eat manna 40 years. Till they came to a land inhabited. They did eat manna till they came to the borders of the land of Canaan. Now an omer is the tenth part of an ephah. Father, I pray you'd help me this morning. I sure do need your touch. And I need you, Lord, to just let me overlook the time. I know it's late. God, it's a lot later than we know it is. Would you show us something in your word today, and would you save an old sinner? God, would you give them that daily bread today like only you can do. In Christ's name, amen. This morning, I want you to notice, first of all, there is a demonstration. The Bible said in chapter number 1 of Exodus 16, they took their journey. All the congregation of children of Israel came unto the wilderness of Sin. This is a wilderness. Quit looking for heaven here. You're not going to find a lot of heaven here. If heaven was here, we wouldn't appreciate heaven there. And notice in their marching, they were marching in the wilderness of sin. Now it could take 2 hours right there. I mean, it is sin on every side. And you know, you remember that Jesus left the 99 to go after that one that was lost. Brother Lee, you know where He left them 99. Brother Howard, He left them in the wilderness. But aren't you glad we're not alone in the wilderness? I'm glad there is a cloud of glory that follow us all through this trail. And so we see here this demonstration of a march. They were marching in the wilderness of sin. The Bible says we ought to never be still, but always abounding in the work of the Lord. Now, if you're going to wait for somebody to cheer you on and ag you on for walking in this wilderness of sin for Jesus, you're not going to walk very much for Jesus. But I'm glad, Brother Lago, there's a voice inside of me today that tells me to pick my Bible up, Brother Dennis, and just keep on marching toward Canaan land. And so here we see a demonstration of their march. Number two, we see a demonstration of their murmuring. The Bible said in verse number 2, and the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron. You better be careful about your murmuring, because it'll catch. Y'all look like you need some preaching back here this morning. You're looking a little peaky looking. You see, murmuring started somewhere. And before long, it just took the whole camp. Boy, ain't it amazing? Not many people want to chime in on praising and worshiping Him, but they love to chime in on gossip. They love, now don't let my feathers down. Help me preach a while. This is a good sermon if you'll help me preach a while. I mean, it's amazing the way murmuring catches on. I mean, all of a sudden you say, I don't know why they want to build a new church down here. I don't either. People just sitting on top of each other. I don't know why we'd want to do that. I mean, I don't know why we'd want to tear an old oak tree down, been there 150 years. I don't know why we'd want to do all of that. I don't know why we'd want to mess with your red carpet, you know, and your little place where you're sitting. Why, who they think they are? We just nobody's trying to be somebody for nobody. Amen. I like what Brother Lager said. Excuse me, I'm just ignorant. Unlearned and ignorant men. I ain't got a lot of education, but honey, I know who saved me. I know where I'm going. Great glory one day. He's coming back after me. Thank God I'm saved by the good grace of God. I wish positive news carried good as bad news. And it amazes me, you know, Brother Lee, I can tell you something and whisper to you. Y'all ever do that in school? Let you know how murmuring and whispering changes. I can tell you that I'm going to give you $100. And by the time it got to the end of the line, somebody would say, they want $100. Amen? Ain't it amazing the way stories change? But murmuring. Let me tell you, one of the biggest problems with murmuring is we forget where we've been. Some people murmur because the church is too full. Some murmur because it's too hot. Some murmur because it's too cold. Some murmur because of this. Hush your murmuring. A murmuring will give you preacher heart murmur. Next time somebody says something about your preacher, say, hey, you want to get up on the pulpit and tell them rednecks that Sunday morning?
Yep.
Amen. Murmuring down at the Piggly Wiggly, down at the Walmart, down the Dollar General where our crowd shops. Amen. People kill me, Miss Flo, at the Dollar General. They're in there hiding behind the green beans, afraid somebody will see them with influence. Praise God, I pull up in the front door and say, praise God, God, give me a Dollar General down at Bowden, Georgia. Some of you higher crust folk think you too good to go in a Dollar General, don't you? Well, see, if you can save 30 cents on a dollar, that gives you the more to put in the offering plate on Sunday. Y'all listen to me. I'll solve your murmuring and your money problem. If you just give it all away, you won't have nothing to fight over. I hope I get past this first point. Notice the whole congregation. Where did it start? Let me say something as your pastor this morning. If it don't matter in 100 years, just drop it. Just drop it. I mean, what's a little yang-yang got to do with your baby getting saved? What's a yang-yang do? What's that got to do with your husband or wife getting saved? If I was a devil and thought I could get you out of here by a little yang-yang, honey, I'd yang-yang your ear down. Would somebody help me preach a while this morning? Demonstration of murmuring. It's a result of forgetfulness. Boy, they forgot about Egypt. Last I looked down there, they was making big rocks into little rocks. It'll do me good tomorrow to go out in the prisons in Montgomery, Alabama, and think about where I could be and where I've been a few times. Yeah, he come to save sinners. I won't tell you. You know, sinners never give Jesus no problem. Is that the Pharisee crowd? Old drunk never bothered Jesus. Old harlot never bothered Jesus. It's that real spiritual elite crowd that wore them bells up on their phylacteries. Look at me. I'm in the prestige club. I drive a nice car and wear a nice suit. I wear a nice wingtip. I wear a nice Coach pocketbook. Some of y'all do a lot better than tote a bucket around. Your head don't swell up toting a bucket. Murmuring. Next time you do this, I hope your lips blow up. Some of y'all's lips are so big, it says inflate 42 pounds. Some of y'all didn't like that, did you? I like that. Old big mouth. You got a big, hateful mouth. Now get quiet. I'll pull every gun I got this morning. Murmur. You see, the whole camp went to doing it. Why can't we just get excited about Jesus? Thank God, honey. He's no respecter of person. I wish good news traveled as much as bad news. Some of y'all, the bad news bears. You know, I'm tired of getting around bad news people. They drag me down. I mean, I come in like this. Oh, preacher, we got to tell you something. I don't want to really tell you this, but I got to tell you this. But I'll let you preach first, and I'll tell you this. That devil's sitting up here saying, well, they fix to leave the church, and they're taking 12 families out with them. I wish some of y'all could pastor about 6 weeks. Amen. You'd have more respect for your pastor than what you got. That's right. Little things that don't matter, let it go. Quit your murmuring and just go to praising Him and blessing Him. He's worthy of our praise. The Lord's been good to me. As a matter of fact, I'm glad He ain't give me what I deserve. Oh, see, they were just forgetting about how bad it was where they used to be. Oh, I wish I had a new tie today. I done wore this one twice. We're so blessed. We are so blessed. And you see, there is a great demonstration about their march, about their murmuring. And it's a great illustration about their Moses. I touched that. They were murmuring against Moses and Aaron, and God said, they're not murmuring about you. They're murmuring about me. And a lot of times you may not understand where your Moses is headed. You may not understand because God ain't told you what He's told you Moses. There's still a few men around interested in something beside chicken and women. I mean, just wade on in here in a boat paddle this morning. There's a lot of shamster preachers. There's a lot of hirelings. But there's still a few boys out in these woods that love Jesus and love their people. There's still some boys that know how to get in touch with God and listen to the Holy Ghost. And thank God I've been around a few of them. Are you perfect? No, I sure ain't. It don't take you long to find out I'm a long way from perfect. But I'm plain. And so their demonstration about Moses. And then, look in verse 4, there's a demonstration about mercy. You ought to know something about that before you leave this morning. Demonstration about mercy. You see, instead of raining brimstone, He's going to rain bread. He ought to rain brimstone. Then said the Lord to Moses, "Behold, I'll rain bread in heaven for you. People should go out and gather a certain rate every day that I may prove them whether they'll walk in my law or not." You know, you better be careful what you say about people because we all need mercy. You ought to not say, "Well, you know, I wouldn't have done that." Well, without the mercy of God, you would. Some people come in the average church don't want, and I feel like I'm losing you this morning. Do I need to keep preaching when they go home? I've studied a long time on this sermon. I'm just starting to get my feet wet. It's 12:05. It's later than that someplace. Brother Josh called me from the Philippines this morning. He said, "We're supposed to go to bed Sunday night. Have your church to pray for us." We didn't have to pick up and leave our family. He did. I don't think we got much to murmur about. Say, "Preacher, you don't realize what God's took from me. Well, what's He left?" Devil ain't showed you that this morning, has he? Devil ain't showed you that mercy God gave you. We ought to rain brimstone down on me, Brother Logger, for the things I've done. But no, He rained bread down on me. Boy, it's a demonstration of mercy. You better be careful to not love sinners. You better be careful to say, "My kids won't do that." But it's all murmuring, and God said, "I'll show you how good I am to you. I'll just let bread fall on you." There's a demonstration. Then notice in the story, not only is there a demonstration, but there is a due
that fell.
Verse number 14, this is what he said. He said, and when the dew that lay was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness, there lay a small round thing, as small as the hoarfrost on the ground. I want to say that the dew was released. It comes from above. The dew is a type and a shadow of the Holy Ghost. Boy, how we need the dew of heaven to fall on our congregation. And not only, watch this, not only was it released, it comes from above, but it refreshes, it parched their weary travel. Isn't it amazing how dry it has been, but you can get up in the morning and get your feet wet from the dew of heaven. Oh, I'm glad I can go to church where the dew of heaven falls. It was released and it refreshes and it replenishes. It fell in the camp. Aren't you glad the Spirit of God can replenish what we need on our journey? And then it reflects, it shows us and it showed them that God's not forgotten. Isn't it a blessing when they walked out from them tents in that wilderness of sin, they got their feet wet. And ain't it amazing the storms and the trials and the persecutions that we walk through, we can come to church and the dew of heaven will fall on us and remind us that God knows exactly where we are. Boy, I'm glad I've got a God that knows exactly where I'm walking and how I'm walking. And what I'm walking against. But every time the dew of heaven falls, I am reminded He is a friend of all friends that sticketh closer than a brother. But then I noticed this, the Holy Ghost give me, said that not only does it replenish and reflect, but it raises. Now I want to show you something. When the dew was gone, you know who they seen? Bread. You know, when the dew falls, what He's doing? He's always pointing to His Son, Brother Gerald. The Holy Ghost ain't pointing to me, it ain't pointing to you. He said, matter of fact, when He's come, He would not even speak of Himself, but He's glorifying God's only begotten Son. That dew was there to lift the Lamb of God. We're not to worship the Spirit of God. Hey, we need the Spirit of God, but I'm glad He lifts our daily manna to us in our life. Oh, how we need the Holy Ghost to show us Christ. Oh, Holy Ghost, come and let us see our daily manna. Holy Ghost, exalt your Son this morning. As every singer gets up and sings, Holy Ghost, would you show us your Son this morning? You see, they wasn't carried away about the dew. A lot of charismatics, they carried away about the dew. Some of y'all didn't get that. I'm carried away about His Son. The dew. Third and lastly, the daily bread. I want you to notice, first of all, about it, the typology of it. In the Old Testament, God gave us many types and shadows of the dispensation of the age that we live in this morning. We're living in the church age, the age of grace, the dispensation of grace. Boy, I'm glad I'm saved by grace. I couldn't work my way into heaven and you can't work your way. But you can get graced in this morning. The typology of it. The Bible said in verse number 15, when the children of Israel saw it. Matter of fact, let's get 14. When the dew that lay was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness, there lay a small round thing as small as a hoarfrost on the ground. When the children of Israel saw it, they said one another, "It is manna." For they wist not what it was. And Moses said to them, "This is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat." I want to say the typology of the daily bread, it was the Father's idea. It was undeserved, it was unsought, and it was unknown. But the grace of God was God's idea. God sending His Son, the Lord Jesus, as the typology of this manna. It was the Father's idea that He would send His Son. I want to say that it came down from heaven. It was a gift. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son." It came down from heaven. It came to where the people were in the wilderness of sin. It came right to where they were. Isn't it amazing how the God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ, was born of a virgin woman that had never known man, conceived in her womb by the Holy Ghost, and came to a little town in Bethlehem. His name was Emmanuel, which said, "God with us." I felt a little something then. God with us. You see, it was the Father's idea. It came to where the people were. And then I like, it was white in color. Hebrews 7:26 is nobody like Him. Holy, harmless, separate from sinners. Walked in this world as the God-man, but never had sin. This bread was white in color that fell. And you know what else? The Bible said that it was round in appearance. I'm glad He's the Eternal One. Brother Lager, you said it right. Jehovah Witness says that He was born. No, He's always been. The Eternal Son of God. As a wedding band, no beginning and no ending. Matter of fact, He said, "When you've seen God, you've seen Me." Boy, I'm glad it was a small round thing. Shows His humility. You know something? He rode in on a little lowly donkey one day, but He's coming back on a white horse. He came in this world small, meek, and lowly with His eternal being. That's the typology of our daily bread. But then, secondly, not only the typology of it, there's a truth of it. It was given at night while they were asleep. I'm glad He came to me when I was asleep and knocked on my heart's door and offered unto me eternal life from the Father. You see, the Bible says that we were all asleep in trespasses and sin. But aren't you glad the Holy Spirit come by and knocked on your heart and woke you up to the light of Christ? Some of you today, the Holy Spirit's dealing with your heart. You know what He's doing? He's awakening you with the fact that you're a sinner in the darkness of night. Boy, I'm so glad the truth of it, it was given while we were asleep. Number two, it was sufficient for all, both young and old, male and female. It was sufficient for all. And then, I want to say its nearness measured their obligation. You see, I believe that many people will stand in judgment more severe than others for hearing the truth of the gospel. Some of you are riding a Baptist pew to hell. But its nearness spoke of their great obligation. Some of you have heard Jesus saved. Some of you have heard the gospel preached in so many ways. But have you ever been born again by the grace of God? You see, its its nearness measure their obligation. And, you know, they must gather it or trample it. Jesus said, you're either with me or against me. It's no middle ground. With that. Well, you know, preacher, I believe in Jesus. Okay. The Bible said devils in hell believe and tremble. Are you living for Jesus? Have you been born again by Jesus? You see, they either had to gather it or trample it. And I want to say, God, I love this, Brother Joe. It was in reach. It didn't fall in their mouths, contrary to what some men think. Brother Gerald, it fell at their tent. And I love this thought the Holy Ghost gave me. He said, Ken, you know how they gathered it? They had to stoop down to get it. You see, you're not going to get it way up here. Matter of fact, the cross done something. Stay with me. I'll be close. The cross never did mean to take a man from Christ. There was two sinners died on the cross. One of them, that cross brought him to Jesus, but the other one's cross took him away from Jesus. You better be glad God's put a cross, a crisis in your life that you may stoop down, that you may be able to pick up that daily manna that'll get you to heaven. Can I tell you, you'll never reach and pick it up until you stoop in humility. Say, dear God, I'm a sinner, and you're the Savior. God, you're holy, and I'm a sinner. God, you've never made a mistake, but I've made more than my share. But God, I sure do want to bend down and get what you got for me. Boy, I'm glad, Brother Ricky, one day my heart bent low. And I realized I had a need. You know what opened my eyes as much as anything was my wife. Brother Mike, the rapture scared me. I know my wife was a saved girl. She was going to heaven. I know that I had in me was going to get me to a bad place. But by the grace of God, Brother Randall, he let me stoop down and pick him up. As many as received Him, to them He gave eternal life. The truth of it, it fell in enormous quantity. One writer said this 3 to 4 million Jews, that each day to feed them or what fell was 10 trains, 30 boxcars long each, that held 15 tons each of manna. It fell in enormous quantity. Aren't you glad it's enough of Him to go around? It fulfilled their hunger. That brought out of Egypt couldn't do the job. Only Jesus can fulfill your hunger. Some of you are looking for something in the wrong places. Some of you are looking in things to try to satisfy a longing. Some of you are looking in people to try to satisfy that of what's really missing in you. Jesus satisfies our hunger. And I like this. It hushed their murmuring. And it was a daily need. The typology of it. And the truth of it. that you were to gather on the sixth day, the seventh day, you couldn't gather it. Isn't it amazing that the Sabbath came before the law? A lot of people say, well, you know, the Sabbath don't mean nothing to me. It does to God. Because this is what He said. If some of y'all quit working on Sunday and come to my house, I'd give you enough on Saturday to get you through Sunday. Whew. Oh, I've got to work on Sunday to pay for this boat. I got to work on Sunday to get ahead. Now, God said if you'd put Him first, He'd give you enough on Saturday to take care of Sunday. It came before the law. These folk out this morning, member of this church, y'all to be here, chasing a whirlwind. The taste of it tasted like honey. Boy, ain't he sweet? Let me share y'all come. Ain't he sweet? Psalmist David had, how sweet are thy words unto my taste. Yes, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Any of y'all ever eat pancakes with honey? Boy, it's wonderful. I took little Braden one morning. I do something about honey not many people do. I'll have a gravy and biscuit and I pour honey on that gravy biscuit. Boy, it's sweet. Psalmist David said, Lord, You're sweeter than honey. Brother Tim, you sang that song, even out of the comb. Taste of it, but I close with this and I want to give an invitation. There's a testimony of it. You see, he said in verse 33, y'all gather some, put in a golden pot, put in that Ark of the Covenant so another generation will know about it. I'm glad we have a testimony of it here this morning. That He does forever. In verse 35, you know what? And the children of Israel did eat manna 40 years. Brother Mike, watch this. Till they came to a land inhabited. It lasted all their journey through. Do you need this daily bread? I'm more convinced than any time in my Christian walk, Jesus is a fix-it-all. He can fix your home. He can fix your hurt. He can fix your heart. Sinner, I want to tell you this morning, your heart's doing this in it. You know why? Because it's failed by your tent, not in your mouth. And it's up to you whether you're going to stoop down and gather it. Boy, I remember the Sunday I got saved. Lord, it's so sweet. It's so sweet right now. Y'all stand all over the house. I want to ask you something. Do you want to be saved this morning? Won't you come run at an old-fashioned altar and just simply bow down at His feet and say, Lord, I'm guilty. I'm a sinner. But I want to be saved. And instead of brimstone to rain on you, you'll let the bread of heaven fall down on you. And that bread that you could get this morning in an old-fashioned altar will take you all the way through your journey till we get to a land that's inhabited. Christian, You know what you need this morning? You just need a daily provision. Because that what you had yesterday, you need it today too. Now, sinner, my heart's to you this morning. The devil will tell you 100 reasons why not to come. But I simply want to tell you this, that Jesus loves you. And He gave Himself for you. But it's up to you. Will you accept it? Christian, what you need this morning? You come. Surely it's need you come while we sing this morning, would you?